Hey everyone, this is Adam. This message is for any teachers, principals, or administrators within the school. Don't know if you know, but a couple years ago, we launched our Lead 'Em Up Classroom program, an in-school curriculum designed to be used by teachers for their students to develop them into the leaders needed to win. Obviously, originating in athletics, we didn't jump right in and make it available for all. We did a three-year pilot to make sure we got it right. And man, these past 3 years have been fantastic. The feedback has been incredible. The students have been growing and the teachers have been raving about this program. So this year we are excited to make it available for all. If you are a teacher, a principal, if you work within a school and you would love a fresh curriculum that is able to engage and excite students and improve them, engage their character to be elevated, developing them as a leader, the Lead 'Em Up Classroom Curriculum is perfect for you. Go online, leademup.com, and check out our schools tab and read all about the classroom program that is transforming schools around the country. We would love to have you be part of our classroom community. Go check it out. Now, let's jump in to today's episode.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam Bradley alongside Kyle Elmendorf. Today, we're jumping into a conversation that Draymond Green recently had with Stephen A. Smith, talking about his incident with Jordan Poole. And this is fascinating for one large reason. It's not often in sports do players attribute the culture or the relationship of the team and the team members and all that stuff as the driving force as to why they didn't win. You so often hear in sports, oh, we couldn't make plays when we needed to. We couldn't hit shots. We couldn't get tackles, right? We fell off in the third quarter. You always hear like, on court, on field, tangible, like visible things, indicators that cause this team not to win. But Draymond in this interview literally goes to the culture, the relationship, the leadership, the red moments, the red behaviors as the reason that this team over the course of a season did not reach their full potential. To give some context, I want to play the clip. We don't do this a lot, so I'm kind of excited about it, Kyle. This should be fun.
A little something different.
Let's play the clip, and then, Kyle, we've got to unpack it because in our Lead 'Em Up language, Draymond is speaking a variety of things.
So many, yeah, absolutely.
That we touch on and we teach on that I think is important to discuss. So let's listen in, and then we'll jump back in.
Are you still playing if that stuff with Jordan Poole didn't happen early in the season?
I absolutely think so, because I still think the fact of the matter is it's going to be hard. I don't really think anyone could beat us, and I know we just lost. I'm not taking anything away from the Los Angeles Lakers. They're competing at a high level. They're a good team, so I'm not taking anything away from them. But I think the reason that we are still playing, like, we didn't lose. We're not playing right now because we lost to the Los Angeles Lakers. We're not playing right now because when you speak about the fouling, when you speak about all of the slippage that we had as a team on the road, not being able to come together, none of those things happen if that doesn't happen, because the voice that I am and the departments that I lead this team in, there was a ton of slippage due to me sitting back, me not saying anything, me trying to allow that situation to play itself out and giving it time to heal. Well, while you're giving it all of that time, guess what? I would say probably by February, I started to feel like myself again and speak more. But guess what? There was 5 months of a season where slippage has just been occurring. And by February, if that slippage has been going on that long, you are who you are at that point. You've built those habits. You've built bad habits. That is who you are now. So to try to correct them then, it's like, okay, you may get a little better. We did. We ended up in the second round of the playoffs, but not at a championship level. So to answer your question, yes, we will still be playing, not necessarily because we, and then also, I think, you know, like, I'm aware that Jordan struggled a little bit at times this year. Like, I get that. And Had I not done that, the relationship we had, I could have been there for him. I could have carried him through that.
Right.
Wasn't necessarily able to do that once everything happened. And so I think I could have been of more service to him, helping him get through his tough times in the season as well, which obviously for us would have helped us as a team, because when he rolling, we roll.
All right. So, I mean, a lot shared there, a lot shared. And obviously, you know, he's talking about his incident with Jordan Poole and the preseason altercation where he hit Jordan Poole and created this tension in the team. And all of a sudden it lingered and it showed up in different ways that he kind of touched on a variety of different things. Yeah, I've got a couple talking points here that I just want to pull from the clips and just kind of speak on. You know, one of the things that comes to mind as I hear Draymond talk about this is he's reminding us of what we teach, Kyle, in the going for the gold exercise.
Absolutely.
That when you don't know your teammate like that, you won't lead them like that.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, we preach it all the time. If you know, any young person says, I want to grow in my leadership, where should I start? What should I do? Maybe you get selected captain. What should you do? What's your first order of business? Start building the relationship. Get to know them like that, so you then will better lead them like that. He acknowledged the incident, distanced their relationship. And as a result, he intentionally, right? He didn't accidentally, he intentionally, knowingly, because of the dynamic, he didn't lead him as well as he could have or wanted to. There were times where he said he felt like he could have jumped in and helped him at various moments, and he chose not to. He pulled back on it. And that's unfortunate, but it's also a reminder of why relationships are so key. People think, oh, they're just talent. As long as your talent's there, man, relationships come and go. You just got to have the talent. Not necessarily. What do you think about that, Kyle?
Not when it's almost equal. Yeah. I mean, talent isn't going to win alone. All things being equal, we talk so often about the intangibles, and there's a prime example of it. And what really stands out to me about it is after hearing the interview and looking at it, I almost forgot that that was this season, to be honest with you, at first, because it happened so long ago. But then it shows you the significance of the relationships and the quality of the connections that in this marathon of a season, 82 games, and you start in, what do they start in? Like almost September now. And this defeat here in the playoffs happens in May. That large of a gap, we're talking about 8 months, and one incident there, they never bridged the gap that was created in that relationship. And then after that, we see all the ramifications have it. And if this can happen on a championship team, on a defending champion, on someone who's won four championships, and he's saying that it caused him not to be able to perform as highly as a leader that he wanted to, and he couldn't help the teammate and he didn't because of those things, I think we have to pay attention to that, because we're dealing with shorter seasons and the relationships matter just as much, if not more so.
It also concerns me because the inclination based on his comments, and if you've read anything from Jordan Poole postseason, the relationship was never repaired.
No, it seems like Jordan didn't want to have anything to do with it at all.
And it makes me wonder if it could have been repaired, right? Like if there could have been steps, if there could have been intentional rehabilitation of that relationship during the season, or if the team just kind of brushed it under the rug a little bit, moved on, we're professionals, we've got a job to do. And that's where it gets interesting, because yes, you are professional. Yes, you do have a job to do, but we can't disregard the role of relationships and leadership and character and culture in the process of getting our jobs done. So they think, oh, we'll just show up and do our job. Yes, but part of your job is the relationship side, because the relationship side is so closely connected to the leadership side. So when I hear coaches and teams talk about, we're professionals, we've got a job to do, It doesn't work that way. You may say it on the surface, but it usually never plays out successful. I remember back, do you ever remember those stories of when Magic Johnson was the GM of the Lakers and LeBron had just gotten there. Yeah. And there are all these trade rumors about all those young guys of Brandon Ingram and Ball and Kuzma.
Yeah.
And Magic at times literally like telling them straight up, like I may trade you, just like your job's not guaranteed. I mean, just really being overly honest. I remember seeing an interview they did before a road game where he basically just was like, yeah, y'all aren't that good, you know, and, you know, I'll ship you guys out and trade you in a heartbeat. I've listened to that previous or in retro from athletes. I think Brandon Ingram was on a podcast with JJ Redick and such, and they all just talked about how it was demoralizing. It like,
yeah,
it made them like apathetic. But I also remember hearing Magic after that talk about someone say, don't you think that was kind of like disrupting the culture of the team at the time? And he said the same thing. Listen, at this stage, we're professionals. You have a job to do. Almost saying it doesn't matter what the relationship is. It doesn't matter where their mental well-being is. They're professionals. They'll get the job done. Wrong.
Yeah,
that team underachieved. That team fell apart, and everyone in hindsight has all said that year was a disaster.
Exactly. I mean, the record speaks for itself. But I mean, look at any high performing team, a dynasty, the great coaches. They're all saying the exact opposite of that, and they're all teaching and preaching the exact opposite of that.
It's
relationships matter. I mean, it's frustrating when we hear it and when we see it, because it seems like it's so simple, but yet the ego gets in the way of that. And, you know, we don't know the conversations that were had, if there was anything intentional, but outside looking in, it seems like there could have been done more to repair that, knowing how important Jordan Poole was to their success.
And you're totally right. And we don't know all the details, but it clearly didn't get repaired based on conversations. And once again, the relationship, as we always connect it to, impacted the leadership. When we say why is relationship so important on teams, there's a lot of people that say, because we need the good chemistry, right? We need to be able to, you know, we want to have fun. And those things are absolutely right. But it's an impact on leadership that we always have to be reminded of. When you don't know each other like that, you won't lead each other like that. You will pull back. You will kind of stay in your lane more than you should. You'll let them stay in their lane more than they should. The overlap isn't as frequent. And once again, he talked to it. Now, he also, you know, he kind of went on and he used the term slippage, that he found himself because of the tension caused, you know, in the relationship dynamic, not being healthy. He pulled back and he became quieter. This is him essentially admitting that some of the slippage, that there were moments in years past, he admits he would have spoken up more, he would have addressed it more, i.e. he would have held the standard higher when things were healthier in the team environment. Because of it not being there, slippage occurred, is what he said. Slipped into bad habits, they began to develop poor disciplines, they got into bad trends, and by the time he kind of began speaking back up, right, it was already too late. He is referencing the role of lifeguarding that we teach in Lead 'Em Up.
Yep.
Lifeguards help prevent slippage. They jump in before it's too late. They help keep you high above the threshold of your standards. And, you know, the slippage occurred due to his lack of lifeguarding. His lack of lifeguarding came as a result of the relationship.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Like, he's speaking the language.
And really what jumps out to me too about that is the old adage that if you look at your team as this, everybody's on board this boat, this ship, right? And we use the lifeguarding reference. It's not often, you don't have to worry about the water that's outside the boat. You have to worry about the water that's inside the boat. And that's what ultimately sunk their ship here this year, is they didn't have anybody looking out for what was going on. And it reminds me too of the challenges that people face when they have success, because Andre Iguodala is on that team. and he wasn't playing a whole lot, but I'm assuming he was on the team more of like the lifeguard type of guy, the clubhouse guy, the guy that's been there before. You know, we don't know, we haven't heard from him, but they have all this experience. They have all these guys that have been through it before, and they really didn't get beat on the court. They beat themselves. They let that slippage get that water inside the boat, and they allowed themselves not to perform at their highest level. So, you know, for our teams, our coaches, and our athletes, that's the importance of having a team full of lifeguards, not just one or two people.
I mean, great call out and great metaphor of the boat, you know, and you're right. The team of lifeguards, everybody looking out for one another. Yes, Andre Iguodala probably paid, once to your point, to be that leader, but he can't be everywhere. He can't be right in everything. You know, he's injured. He's not on the court all the time. There's conversations that are happening. He's probably not in every film session, right? You need everybody kind of playing into that role. And I mean, Draymond said he still believes they were the best team. And he said, I know that sounds crazy, just having lost to the Lakers, that I'm saying this, but he believes they kind of let themselves kind of struggle this year because of all the dynamics. Now, one of their issues was their challenges on the road, which he has alluded to also about them being disconnected as a team from a relationship side, not being as strong and cohesive. The close-knit team you always hear about, that family environment, that he believes that it may have had an impact on them on the road, that they weren't as, you know, maybe everyone goes on the road, everyone just kind of does their own thing.
Yeah, separate ways.
It goes their separate ways versus the team meals and the hanging out and hotel room hangouts and all that stuff. Does it matter? Yes. Does it actually put the ball in the basket? No. Right? So a lot of people keep discrediting it. But does it matter in the overall ability to perform at a higher level and give more and be at your best? It absolutely, because there's so many layers to get us there, to get to be your best, that we need all of those operating, you know, in cohesiveness with one another to be able to produce it. Now, it is interesting, Kyle. I am intrigued on this. This is not an NBA show, so we're not saying here like predicting future free agency and like evaluating salary caps and transactions and moves and all that. But Steve Kerr recently said Draymond Green is essential to having back on the team. He said that. He said it's essential to have him back on the team. Now, rule one of the Green team says, in order to build Green, you must first be Green. In order to build Green, you must first be Green. We obviously know there are gray players, and we obviously know red players exist as well. And we talk about the fact that red distracts. It always destructs that red behavior. You could look at two of the last 5 years within the Golden State Warriors, and you could attribute Draymond Green's red behavior as the cause of two teams within the Golden State Warriors having underachieved. This year, you look back, I mean, he basically self-admitted it, so it's not me claiming this. This is him admitting it. His incident with Jordan Poole covered this team, created a cloud, all these distractions, as we've been alluding to this whole episode. Red behavior destroys, destructs always, okay? Unless you're lucky and you can, you know, kind of spare it. But don't take your chances on that. No, red behavior destroys and destructs. A couple years back, though, it's his interaction with Kevin Durant on the court.
Yeah, exactly. It's
dropping some language to Kevin Durant, calling Kevin Durant out in a couple big, bold manners, moments during the year that have absolutely, that basically kind of ended
that run.
That run.
Yeah.
This is Jason Barnes from Chick-fil-A, and this is your Leadership Nugget. Managers do things right. Leaders do the right things. As leaders, our number one behavior is leading by example. A wise person once said, behaviors are caught, not taught. Whatever it is you are doing, you are giving your people permission to do. As you coach new and existing leaders, the most important thing that they can do is lead by example. This includes showing up to work on time, executing correct behaviors, teaching others, and treating everyone the way they want to be treated. All of these are important elements in leading by example. Managers do things right, and leaders do the right things. Be the example, do the right things, and ensure everyone around you is catching how you are leading by example, the greatest skill any leader can possess. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
Red behavior, you could argue, has been the cause of it. Why do we need to remove it? Because two out of the last 5 years for this high-level dynasty was destroyed by red behavior.
It's powerful. And it also reminds me that every year starts new. And it's something that we get posed the question with a lot, and we'll hear a lot is, you know, our kids are pretty good. We have a good thing going here. And okay, Golden State, let's just use them as that example, right? They have a good thing going here. Four championships, just won the fourth one. We got a majority of the guys coming back. Everything's good. All it takes is one thing. All it takes is one incident. All it takes is a little bit of water to get through the crack, and then it breaks. So we say it often, but we say it because it's so important. We teach it because it's essential for the teams. If you let that water get in the boat, it's going to sink. And what better example than this team, this season, and having someone admit it? And then the other part of that is just the power that Red has. It could be one person to pull people away. And why? And another rule of the green team is that every single day, rule number six, you have to fight for it. Where was everyone else fighting for it? Surely him and Jordan Poole weren't the only ones. So that's why leadership is not just a one person deal. It's a full team deal, like we talked about with lifeguarding, but everybody has to be pulling and working in the same direction. It can't just be one or two people.
Man, so good. So good. You look at it and, you know, in the last 6 years, with the exception of their two, you could argue, kind of COVID rebuilding years with Clay's injury and all that, yeah, right, where they were like really bad there. Like, that's not even the same team just based on injuries and such like that. So no, I don't even want to compare. But when you look at the last, I mean, once again, we just alluded to this year and you alluded to Kevin Durant. You could almost argue, actually, I'm looking at it right now as we speak. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven. The last 7 years, minus two for those injury plagued COVID years that just were a complete anomaly. I mean, think about it. They went 15 and 50. Like, they didn't even have like their team available in one of those years. So the 5 years in the last seven where they had their team together, they won when they were green. They lost when they were red.
Yeah.
Shit. They won when they were green and they lost when they were red. Kevin Durant's final year. And this past year, they lost. The other 3 years, they won finals.
There's your professional sports case study on it and the power of it. And had that first red incident not happened with KD, you know, you can play the what if game all day long. But if that hadn't happened, they win another one and things are good there. Maybe he stays. Maybe he doesn't leave. You never know.
You never know. So it's just interesting. I mean, just to hear that has just been is fascinating, right?
So real time too, because most of the time you hear about this stuff, it's years later after people are done playing and it's, you know, they're sitting back and talking about it. They don't want to say anything while they're in the moment. But, you know, it's pretty eye-catching that this is coming out, you know, less than a week after the season ended. That's very rare.
That's a great point. You know, you're totally right. Usually it is reflective 5 years. Yeah, we just didn't have the locker room for it. You know, it's like you look at it in a distant past. But now, I mean, he's saying it like right now. He's just like, no, we were undisciplined. There were bad habits. We weren't together, you know, and all of that. And he points back to an incident, which, man, really, really interesting. So you could argue like, yeah, he's very valuable, but like, he's also, his behavior is false.
Yeah.
Once again, not my decision, not our podcast. Right. But it opens up a very interesting question. And it was one, it'd be one that I would love if I ever had a relationship with Draymond like that to ask him. And say, Draymond, I know you're valuable. everyone says you're valuable, but man, I want you to look at it from this perspective, Draymond. You basically alluded to the fact your incident with Jordan Poole disrupt the whole season. I've heard you on other interviews. Your incident with KD really kind of disrupted the flow and the chemistry of that team as well. I mean, could you argue that your emotional inability to manage those emotions, your red moments, red behaviors, have cost your team two full seasons? Why should we bring you back then?
Yeah, which version are we getting? Are we getting the green? Are we getting the red? You know, like, what's it going to be? Yeah.
What's it going to be? So, you know, it's just interesting. But once we heard this, I shared a little bit on our Facebook page about this. It just hit me like as soon as I read it, I was like, holy smokes, man. Draymond is illustrating to the entire sports community right now some of the dynamics of culture, leadership, relationship, how it all plays in and its impact when it's good and its detriment when it's bad. And it was absolutely worth talking about. So Kyle, appreciate you as always. Thanks for all those that are listening. Thank you so much for all your support of Lead 'Em Up. As always, I am Adam. He is Kyle. Have fun and lead 'em up.